This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 167.
We find the no in the numbers, so we're looking for the no, why shouldn't we do this deal? But then once the numbers make sense, once it fits our models, then we do everything we can to find the yes.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dorkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, Mr. Brandon Turner. What's up, man?
Hey, not much. Haven't jumped on any planes this week, so I'm still here.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah,
how are you doing?
I always see your
smiling, you know, beautiful, smiling face. Lovely, handsome.
I just would have said smiling. I wouldn't have added any of the other attributes because they're wrong.
Well, you know. Okay, good. Thanks. Thanks, Mom. All right, how you doing?
Now go to your room.
What have you been up to? I hear you got snow in there, Denver.
Yeah.
You guys didn't get the memo about winter being over. I don't know.
We got a little snow. It's been dry here for a while, so it's kind of nice. I hope to potentially hit the slopes again soon. It was getting pretty barren up there. But yeah, things are good, man. Work is good. You know, we've got some cool things coming soon, and I think we'll talk about it a little bit at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff in the works. But Bigger Pockets is growing great. We're mid-hiring, and again, we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But if you are looking for a job, biggerpockets.com/jobs. We are looking for some folks in Denver.
Especially web developers. So
web developers, product managers, all sorts of other stuff. But so things are great. Things are great. Let's start getting this thing going, though. Right. Enough of this jibba-jabba.
Okay, let's do our
quick tip. Really?
That was the most annoying sound in the world.
That was pretty terrible. All right, guys, today's quick tip is Bigger Pockets just introduced a pretty cool feature just to help everybody out. And the feature is if you go on the forums and you're looking at an abbreviation that you don't understand, it's a pretty good chance if you hover your mouse over the abbreviation, you will get a description of what that stands for, potentially a definition if need be, and potentially links to other content when available. So it's pretty cool. Definitely will help the new investor out who may not know what people are talking about when they talk about ROI or, you know, CCR and all sorts of other things that make no sense to them. So definitely check that out. And if you do come across something that there is not an abbreviation for, let us know and we'll fill it in for you.
There you go. And you can do that by tweeting us at Bigger Pockets or send an email to support@biggerpockets.com.
Yeah.
There you go.
What's better than low money down? No money down. Now through Rent to Retirement, you can buy a brand new construction turnkey rental property for no money down. Wait, hold on. This can't be right. I need to double check with Zach, Rent to Retirement CEO.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Zach, how the heck are you selling turnkey rental properties for $0 down?
It's not that complicated, Rob. Rent to Retirement has new construction properties up to $20,000 below retail prices. We also have investor loans with rates as low as 3.99% and down payment options as low as 5% or sometimes even zero money down. You get all the cash flow, appreciation, and equity for as little as zero money down. That's an infinite return.
Oh, wait, let me get on this before we tell it to the whole Bigger Pockets audience.
Just head to renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com or text REI to 33777. That's REI to 33777 to learn more about how you can get started investing with no money down today.
Get your next new construction property at a steep discount or invest with no money down. Head to renttoretirement.com today. We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability. With Plaid certified tenant income and assets reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. All tenant screening and verification is paid by the tenant and done through the desktop and mobile app. It's time to say goodbye to gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. And as a matter of fact, all BiggerPockets pros have Rent Ready included in your pro membership. If you're not a pro, Rent Ready is offering you 50% off of their annual plan. New customers visit rentready.com and use code BP2024. That's RENTREDI.com using code BP2024. That's VP, like Bigger Pockets, in the year 2024 to save 50% off of 1 year of Rent Ready. Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So, go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
So with that, should we introduce our guest? Are we ready for that?
Let's do it? Yeah, right. Today's guest, this guy has been at this for just about a year. And in that time has really come a long way. What are we at?
25 units. And it works a full-time job. And it's a demanding full-time job.
It's a demanding job.
It's not a 30-hour week thing. This is not Bigger Pockets.
So we're going to find out. It is not Bigger Pockets, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But a lot of people complain and say, hey, I can never do real estate because I work, a full-time job. Well, this guy's doing it. Find out how he's doing it by listening up. And there's a whole ton of really cool tidbits in here.
Yeah.
Even if you have been in the game a little bit, he's been doing some multi-deals, package deals, which are fascinating. He's got this pretty amazing negotiation technique.
That seems awesome.
To work wonders.
He lives in the most expensive, one of the most expensive areas in the country. So,
Can't invest in real estate then.
You can't. I got all these excuses. I work a full time job. I live in an expensive area. This guy shows you how it can be done. So there listen up. Let's do it.
All right. Well, today's guest is Kevin Wood. And let's bring Kevin in. All right, Kevin, welcome to the show, man. It's good to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah, this should be fun today. We're going to talk about getting started investing in real estate. Because correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're pretty new at this real estate game, right?
Exactly, yeah. This is my 12-month anniversary for my first post on Bigger Pockets.
That's awesome. But you didn't own anything. Today is.
Yeah, I did not own anything prior to April, May of this year.
Awesome.
And Bigger Pockets was where I asked about my first deal.
Cool.
And that was a year ago today. But this month.
Okay, so a year ago this month, you posted on Bigger Pockets and you've gone 12 months and you've done nothing, right? That's why we've got you on the show.
Yeah, so we've actually grown from 0 to 25 units.
That's awesome. In your first year. Okay, so
and not only that, hold on, because we're going to dig in deeper.
We are.
You work at the big G, right? You work over at Google.
I do, yeah. I'm in the tech field. From Houston, Texas. Ended up moving to the Bay Area to take a job, and have a business partner that I work with in Houston, and the two of us have kind of grown this business.
Okay. So you're not buying property where you are in Mountain View. You're buying property down in Houston, correct?
No, I can't even afford property for myself here. Houses within my area are $1.3-1.5 million, and nice. Our real estate portfolio is probably just now above that. So
nice.
So here's what I want to point out here. I talk to people all the time who live in San Francisco or live in LA or live in New York City, and they say, "I've been trying to invest for years, but it's just so expensive here. I can't do it." And they'll go their whole life without doing it. So I love the fact that you live in the most expensive area in the U.S. probably. I don't know if there's any area more expensive than where you are right now. And yet you're still making it in a year. You've gotten 25 units. So there are ways to do it, right? But you have to maybe look outside your area.
They're going to Detroit.
Yes.
You can go over to Detroit and pick up everything. Okay, so let's dive into that, actually, how that happened. We'll start at the beginning of your story. What made you, first of all, get into real estate, like get the idea that you might want to invest?
Yeah, so it actually probably, my business partner, his name's Matt. He's probably relevant to the story in that I've known him for about 16 years. And he was in the Navy for 6 years. And during that time, we were just always chatting about, you know, we're going to always start a business, or we're going to invest together. We're going to do some sort of activity together. And so we just kept reading a bunch of different books and came across real estate books, the whole Rich Dad, Poor Dad thing, as well as other popular books. And probably during that time he was in the Navy, each of us read about 25 books on real estate. So we did a lot of reading, a lot of education. And then Bigger Pockets was something I found online. And what I liked so much about the website, it was very actionable. And unlike the books, I found people that were like me, because I think the books are very directed towards people that have one formula that they've always followed. That's their full career. And Bigger Pockets really kind of showed me all the different angles that people invest in real estate. And it gave us some directed paths to focus on. And our first deal ended up being an investor that was looking to do a flip, not through Bigger Pockets, but he was looking to do a flip into a multifamily. And so we offered on 5 of his 8 properties for sale.
Really? Wow. Well, so before that, I want to go before that, because I know you mentioned earlier, you said your first deal, you asked some advice on the Bigger Pockets forums about a condo or something, right?
Yes.
What was that story about? I wanted to, because you didn't end up buying that, I think.
Yes. So we asked about a condo. The deal didn't look great on paper, but we were new. We hadn't run a bunch of deals. And so I wanted to ask some Bigger Pockets members. And like most condo deals that come up on Bigger Pockets, there was a lot of trepidation, I guess, around the HOA fees. And people recommended that we didn't purchase the property. And it was actually from the same investor that ended up selling us the 5 houses. This was kind of his entry deal. So he was trying to unload the properties that no one wanted, basically. And then once we said no, he was like, well, I have these other properties if you guys are interested as well.
That's great. Well, that's the power of chatting with folks. Really quickly, you talked about, you asked people about the deal. For those people who are listening, we have a forum on Bigger Pockets, a discussion area called Ask About a Real Estate Deal. So you literally can go in there, put in the numbers, tell people, hey, this is what I got, and ask them what they think. It's a great way to get feedback, particularly for new investors. So if you ever are trying to get advice on a deal and you're unsure of something, put it out there and ask and see what your peers have to say. Also, you know, quick plug on the calculators, biggerpockets.com/calc. We built a calculator suite so that you can go in, plug in all the numbers and you know, find out if it actually is a good deal. You know, you're talking about this condo deal. The condo deal, the numbers don't work. It's, you know, the BP folks told you guys to kind of stay away. You stayed in touch with the guy. How did that kind of happen? I mean, did you say, hey, no thanks, I'm not interested, and that was the end of it, and he followed up? Or, you know, were you guys continuing just the conversation? Because that's a really important transition, I think, and it doesn't necessarily always happen. And I think in a lot of cases, it could happen if the investor knows how to approach it.
Yeah. And I think this goes back to Brandon's always talking about a competitive advantage and what exists for you. And Matt's mom actually had worked with a guy who was friends with the original investor. And so it was a friend of a friend, basically, is how we got in touch with him. And the way I think people should approach other investors is try to offer value. And so we said, hey, we're trying to get into real estate. You know, we really admire what you've done. You're friends with such and such. And we just want to know more about real estate, asking questions, being curious and saying, hey, if you ever need help with anything, run numbers, anything like that, you know, feel free to reach out to us. And by offering that value, even though we ended up not doing any work for him, he felt comfortable reaching out to us and wanted to help us. And so we just kept up that relationship. We'd ask him questions like, hey, we're looking in this area, what do you think about this deal? And then he had the apartment complex he wanted to buy. And then that's when he reached out and said, well, I'm now going to unload these 8 properties. Would you like to purchase them? And we negotiated on those properties for over a month. It was about a 4 to 5 week negotiation back and forth.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. I mean, you said it was 5 of 8 properties that he was selling, you guys picked up. So was it 5 properties or 5 units? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, so this is 5 single families. We now invest exclusively in multifamilies, but we started out with single families. And the original, I think the homes were valued at roughly, by our estimates, $400,000. He wanted $390,000, and we ended up agreeing to $376,000 on the properties. And the way I negotiated the deal was sort of interesting. What happened was he offered the 5, and we said, if you give us a deal, we'll offer on all 8. And he said, okay, that's fine. We gave him a very low offer. And then we've done this a few more times, is when someone says no or balks at your deal, you then ask them to individually value the pieces within the real estate deal. And then we pulled out the 3 that we thought were way overpriced. And now our 5 that are left are at a very, very good deal. So we ran cash flow numbers on all 8 properties and pulled out the 3 with the worst cash flows. And now we have a really good deal. So that's a pretty good negotiating
tactic.
That was
awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So you ended up at 376. You picked up 5 properties. I mean, you're a new investor. What the hell are you doing buying 5 properties for? So what was that like? I think a lot of people are afraid to go in and buy one. And surely there was some fear on your side and buying only one, but you went ahead anyway with the 5. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we felt like buying more than one, we could treat it almost like a multifamily, and that's sort of what we did. And that we looked really hard at the cash flows. We wanted to ensure we are a cash flowing property. And I think something to tell new investors if they do own one house is you can do everything right and value everything right, and you can potentially have a house that will lose you money. So if I look at the 5 properties we've purchased, if we had purchased one of those properties, we would be down about $10,000 right now in cash flow. But together, I think we're almost completely cash flow positive, including closing cost, which is pretty good for us. So I think we've only basically paid out of pocket about $14,000 now on those properties. So that's pretty good.
How did you
I guess
finance
not including equity. Yeah.
Sure.
So we did traditional financing on those properties. Okay. That probably, looking back, isn't something that I would recommend when you're buying 5, because what they ended up doing is running 5 separate loans, and we paid closing costs 5 different times. I don't think they would have had to do that, but we ended up dealing with folks that only sold single family residence houses one at a time. And so they didn't know how to package the deal together. I think you have to individually separate them out for Fannie Mae, but I think you can group some aspects of the deal that lower the price. And so I think if we would have potentially found a bank that would work with us, we could have maybe, you know, done a commercial deal or done a deal with a credit union or something like that. So
yeah, you might have, but I don't know if you would have gotten, did you get a 30-year fixed on those? Like 30-year fixed mortgage?
Yeah, we would have got 20-year probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't think you'd get the 30-year fixed, but and I mean, if you would have been like everyone else, I mean, like me and everyone else who buy, like, you buy one house, you buy another over the course of several years, you're going to pay 5 sets of closing costs. You just did it all at once. So it's not like you wasted money at all. You just put it all together, and maybe you could have saved a little bit. But I guess that's a lesson for people listening, is if you're going to buy a bunch at a time, maybe shop around a little bit and find out.
Yeah, great advice.
And so, definitely, there's a big difference talking to banks and saying, I've never purchased a property versus I own 5 houses, even if it's only been 2 or 3 months. We learned that a few months later when we got our first multifamily. So
talk about that. I mean, what kind of difference does it make? What's the treatment?
I mean, I think you can go on the Bigger Pockets forum as well. And it's a similar thing where you'll see a lot of people talk about getting into real estate investing. And you see that they haven't learned the lessons or done the research yet, and a lot of those people fall away and you don't hear from them again.
Yeah.
And then when you have a person that says, hey, I've purchased my first property, I'm doing that deal, that person always sticks around. And I think for the banks, it's the same way. Is, okay, this guy is committed to this model. They're committed to real estate and they're investing in the marketplace. And so they have a plan that they've executed on. It's, you know, being in the Bay Area, it's like the startup community. It's like, what have you actually built so far? And at least in our experience, when the banks responded a lot more favorably to us once we actually had some properties in our, you know, with our LLC and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just fantastic advice anyway, across the board, is like, get out there and just get your first deal. Like, you know, I'm not suggesting people should go out and get a bad deal at all, but like when I look on my past, my first flip ever, like it didn't work out. I didn't sell it. I turned it into a rental property. My tenant burned it down last summer, you know, half of it down. And like, I'll never probably make money on that deal. At the end of the day, I'll probably never make money. I'll probably sell it here soon and break even on it. And like, I was telling a friend this last night, and he said, well, do you regret buying it? And I said, not a bit, you know, because it made me say, okay, I'm in this game. I'm committed. I'm doing this. So again, don't go out and buy a bad deal. But what you said, yep, there was just right on, is like, once you have that first deal, you suddenly become more legitimate and you're committed. Your feet are to the fire at that point.
Well, you're legit because you got a deal. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Brian Burke podcast, actually, that what you're saying there, that reminds me a lot of what he said, which is you've got to just get started at some point. And we kind of have a saying that we use amongst ourselves, which is we find the no in the numbers. So we're looking for the no. Why shouldn't we do this deal? But then once the numbers make sense, once it fits our models, then we do everything we can to find the yes. So you need to, like you said, you run the numbers. You may run into a bad deal. Like I said, one of our houses is a cash loser as of right now, but all the numbers fit. And so now we needed to find the yes to make that deal happen. And that's kind of how we operate. You have to put your feet to the fire at some point and execute.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And,
yeah, I love
it. Brandon is feverishly writing up notes. The Brian Burke episodes were show number 3, show number 76, and show 152, where it was Brian, Serge, and Ben. So you can get to those at biggerpockets.com/show3, biggerpockets.com/show76, and biggerpockets.com/show152. I love that saying, find the no in the numbers, and when it makes sense, do everything that you can to find a yes. You know, you've done the math. You know, this is a deal, right? So now, what do I actually have to do to get this thing to happen? That's pretty much what you're saying, correct?
And it's the scariest thing in the world. because I was a person that came into real estate, you know, saving my money all these years. I'm in my early 30s now. And so I'm selling stocks, a relatively safe investment vehicle, and going into real estate. And it's extremely terrifying because, you know, once you cross that line, it's on. Like, you have to manage properties. You have to deal with tenants. You have to fix the property. And it's funny, and I'm sure all real estate investors say this, looking back now, all of those activities are very not a big deal to me. Like, you know, buying your first property is so scary. Buying your second is nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. You said leaving stocks a, quote, relatively safe investment vehicle. I mean, you know, it's a vehicle that you have zero control over, except the purchase, right? And so once you own it, you can't affect it at all. And that's why real estate's so cool, because, you know, you can get in, you can actually affect the value by taking action and by doing certain things, you know, fixing up the place, landscaping, making sure, you know, things, making sure you actually buy it at discount, things like that. But you know, it is certainly a more active endeavor than buying stocks. But you know, you hear that a lot, and the media really, I think, does a crappy job of, you know, pushing that that worldview that stocks are a safe vehicle and real estate's not. Well, you know, hey, you know, China does something, or you know, or something happens in Iran, or you know, Putin does something, and suddenly the market tanks, right? You just lost money because of something that's thousands and thousands of miles away. Your local market in real estate isn't going to react like that. You know, ultimately it could over time, but you know, you're not going to see, you know, 3%, 5%, 12%, 15% drops in minutes, that takes a really long time. And so, hopefully everybody listening gets that. Those people who are on the fence, I mean, that's why real estate is so exciting and so sexy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it definitely is important to diversify. So from someone I'm a finance and accounting guy, so I love the number side of it. And if you look at wealthy individuals, and almost all of them have a portion of their portfolio that's allocated to real estate, and you're going to get way more bang for your buck in finding your own deals and adding value than, say, investing in a real estate trust or something like that. And so I think it's something that everyone should explore. And I think, you know, you can look at Bigger Pockets and find someone that's in a similar situation to you that's made it work, and find a way of investing in this asset class that makes sense based on, you know, your story.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I want to ask about, you said earlier, like, that's the scariest thing to buy that first deal. So I had dinner with a friend last night, and him and his wife, and they're buying their very first deal. Well, they're wholesaling their very first deal, just got under contract. And his wife asked me, and I thought it was a great question. She says, like, how do you know you're making the right decision, the right choice? Mm-hmm. She's like, she implied like they were nervous, like that that they are wasting their time and like all the stuff they've learned and now putting into practice, and they're scared to death. So how did you overcome that? And do you have any advice for people listening?
Yeah, so I made kind of, because I'm not in my market, this will kind of also be talking to people that aren't in their market. What I did is I subscribed to the Houston Business Journal. And I still subscribe to it, and I read it every single day. And it tells me what new businesses are going up in my neighborhood. I know, for example, the city that I grew up in, I called some friends and was like, hey, you're getting an HEB in this part of town, you know, in the next 3 months. And they're like, whoa, I didn't. HEB is a big grocery store chain. They're like, whoa, I didn't know that. And so there's these business journals that I subscribe to. So I get all my information there. And then something you talk about in the webinars that I do as well is I crunched probably 25 deals in the zip codes that we purchased in prior to making my first purchase.
Nice.
And so if you have looked at 30 properties in the zip code of the property that you're purchasing, you know if that's a good deal or not.
Yep.
So I don't know, one of the webinars you said for someone to get started, look at 80 deals. And I bet there's not one person that has done that has purchased property that made a bad decision, because by going through that process, you will be able to identify good deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great feedback, by the way. And
that's awesome.
And I love that you've listened to the webinar, and it's true. That's why we do the webinars. Yep. That's why, you know, we're selling this stuff, and I mean, quote, selling it, you know, the idea of do the work, get to know the market.
Yep.
And I love the advice of you know, getting those the local business journals,
yeah,
and reading those constantly, because you know that'll tell you exactly what's happening in that area. And you know, listen, hey, if they're building a new rail line along this path, you know, obviously there's going to be a station nearby. There's going to be an effect on property values. If there's a new great grocery store that's coming in, you know, that's going to change things. So yeah, great advice.
Yeah, I love that. And to go back to the analyzing deals thing, and this is what I say in case people have not been to a Bigger Pockets webinar, which you guys should come. I do one every single week, biggerpockets.com/webinar. Sign up, and we analyze deals together and fun stuff like that. So, but one thing I mention a lot is this idea that if you analyze, I challenge people, analyze 3 deals every single day. And I say that because if you analyze 3 deals every day, after a month, you've analyzed roughly 100 deals. I like to ask that rhetorical question, like, after analyzing 100 deals, do you think you'll be better or worse at analyzing deals and recognizing a good deal after 100 deals or after 80 deals like that? Like, of course you would be. And so, like, even if you don't want to invest now, start analyzing deals today. Even if you don't plan to invest till next summer, just start analyzing now, because the more you analyze deals, the better you're going to get at recognizing the good ones. And I love, Kevin, that you said that. So thank you.
And what's important too is
somebody listens to Brandon.
I know. Yeah.
a good deal in Brandon's market, a good deal in my market, is not a good deal in your market.
Yep.
You have to have analyzed your market, your deals, to know what a good deal is. So that's awesome. That's so important. You can't watch a Brandon's webinar, see him do a deal in his neighborhood, and say, yep, okay, this cap rate, this return rate, this you know, this is what I should expect in my market. That is not true at all.
Yep.
And there are challenges in your local market that do not exist in my market, do not exist in Brandon's market.
Yep. That's why I hate people ask me, like, you know, I mean, I don't hate it because I like the question.
Wow, but
like,
angry.
Well,
angry.
They ask me, well, is, you know, what return on investment should I get? Or what cap rate should I look for? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's going to be totally, like, dependent on
Brandon,
you, your situation.
You're the guy. You have to
I'm
know.
The guy. I got to know these things. I'm like, I don't. And, or people email me sometimes deals and they're like, what do you think of this deal? And I'm like, I don't know your area. Like, I wish I could dive into every deal people send me. Like, I don't know the area. I don't know where the things are moving, where industry's going up, where it's going down, where,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know it. So anyway, great stuff.
To go on further along that,
sure.
You know, in terms of just knowing your market, I think one of the things that newbies fail to do is go and look at properties. You know, they're nervous. They don't want to go and do it. I say you've got to look at every property in the area. Anytime something goes on sale, if you're new, you need to go and check it out. You need to see every property for sale. That also teaches you how to evaluate what a good deal, what a bad deal is, you know, what the market wants in a property. You know, maybe the B-class properties look, you know, one way and you were thinking, hey, I'm going to go and put granite and all this stuff. And that's not what the area is, you know, saying that you should be putting in there. So you've got to know not just the numbers, but you also have to know level of finish, all sorts of other stuff. And so as a new investor, just make sure you know your area. Your area is what matters most.
Yeah, and that's where my partner, Matt, comes in. He's the one in Houston. I'm in Mountain View, California. And so he's the one who's looking at the properties. If you're like me and not able to look at every single property, I obviously have my partner that I take a lot of pictures. And then I'll look at other properties by looking at other real estate listings and look at properties there.
Yeah, so true. Well, let's talk about the partnership thing a little bit since you brought that up. Like, other people who are thinking about working with a partner, like, what do you recommend? Do you recommend that? Do you think that you got lucky? You think that's a good idea?
So if you are involved in real estate, you have a team around you. You are working with partners, whether you like it or not, if you want to be successful in this business. That said, being a 50-50 partner with someone, you have to have a lot of trust there. And I almost want to say you have to have had some disagreements with this person in the past and understood that I understand how this person works. I understand them at their worst. And we're okay with each other. We know how to deal with each other. It's hard for me to say just meet someone and then immediately go into a partnership with them because I knew my business partner for 16 years. That said, I guarantee you within your network of people you have a pretty decent relationship with, there's someone that probably is interested in real estate or some aspect of the business that you could potentially work with.
That's great advice. Great advice.
Yeah.
So with you and your partner, you said Matt, was that?
Matt, yep.
Matt, yeah. So how do you guys actually structure your partnership? Do you guys do everything together? Do you do just certain deals together? I heard you talk about an LLC earlier. So are you guys just splitting the LLC? How do you guys have it set up?
So we're 50-50 exactly in everything. Matt does on some of our other properties that I'm sure we'll get into. He does some on the ground work. And so we compensate him for that. I had a little more saved up in money, so I put in a little more funds earlier that he's sort of, you know, putting money in when he can. And then when it comes to responsibilities, anything that can be handled online is primarily my responsibility. And then I'm also the driver for finding deals. And we use primarily the MLS right now, but finding deals, speaking to investors. I network a lot on Bigger Pockets. And Matt's involved with interacting face-to-face with tenants. He handles the leases. We're actually looking into potentially starting a contracting business because he handles a lot of subcontractors and things like that. And so that's kind of our split. Anything that's on the ground is him. He's the boss. He consults me. Anything that's online, I'm sort of the boss on that and I consult him. We don't do any major decisions without both of us being in agreement.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's great. So how should people network on Bigger Pockets? I mean, it's a totally self-serving question, obviously, but you know, as somebody who's probably doing it the right way, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So here's my advice for a new person. There's a lot of people that get on Bigger Pockets and they're like, hey, I'm new, teach me real estate. And that's kind of their only post. if you're very serious about doing this, let's say you're in the Houston market, and here's a good newbie post. Hey guys, I'm interested in BiggerPockets. Listen to a webinar, a couple podcasts. I'm really interested in investing in 77015. I've looked at all of the MLS deals that are in this market, and here's my analysis on how the market works. Can you guys give me any feedback on my analysis? You will have someone that invests in that market reach out to you, because after my 5-house deal, I posted a success story, said, hey, this is what I did. I got contacted by 4 investors saying, hey, let's meet up, let's talk, let's work together on something if we can. And so by offering value and something as simple as saying, hey, I'm looking at this zip code, here's my analysis of that zip code, if you did that, I would reach out to you, because that means you're interested in the real estate market and you're taking it seriously and you've done some legwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, lots of people set up keyword alerts on the site for things like zip codes. So, you set up a keyword alert at biggerpockets.com/alerts for the zip codes that you're interested in, and active investors who participate in those zip codes will get an alert, get an email or a text message if they're a pro user, and they could jump in and investors want to know other investors. That's where deals come from. That's where opportunities come from.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have my text message keyword alert set up for like my town name and the couple towns I invest in. I never actually did a zip code. I don't know why I've never thought of that, but I'm going to totally do that today. I'm going to do that today. Yeah. But I do my town name, so that way every time somebody does it, I get a text. And I no matter what I'm doing, I always jump on to see what it is. I could be on a date with my wife and it's terrible, but like I'll look because I'm like, oh, somebody just mentioned Montesano. I'll go and look and I'll read the forum post. Why are they talking about my town? And like I've met people, a ton of people that way. I live in a tiny little area and we're having conversations almost every day about my area. So yeah. Good recommendation there. I also like how you said, just to get out there and share your success stories. You went up there and you said you did something cool. So you went and told people about it. I mean, that inspires people, but it also shows that you're legit, right?
Yeah. And actually, I would not have gotten my next property, which was the 14 unit, without that first post on BiggerPockets.
Really?
Because I met a real estate agent, and I'll plug her, Sharon Zeeb, who... Actually, Ben had recommended when she had been an agent in California. I actually looked up all her post history. She was very active. So I chatted with her and said, hey, we're interested in multifamilies in this area of town. She set us up an alert. And we also worked with a bank that kind of ended up leaving us at the altar. But either way, we got a property in an area that I'd been crunching numbers in. It's the Heights area of Houston, which is one of the best rental markets. So here's this crazy deal. It came up. I already knew that the price was almost exactly at the land value because I had looked at a deal on that same street. It was a 14 unit, but because it was listed on the MLS, they could only max put 12 units. So everyone thought it was a 12 unit. I contacted Sharon. We offered on the property with a bank commitment letter within 24 hours. And because our presentation was so professional, they ended up accepting our deal over an offer that was $30,000 more.
That's awesome.
So that's how we got our second deal. And that one was a tough deal. It still is a tough deal. We're still working on improving that complex.
So let's talk about it. What was tough about it? I'm assuming since you got a nice deal out of it, some work had to be done, and it sounds like some work continues to need to be done. What's the story?
So I just posted an imager link in the comments for you guys so you could see what we're dealing with here, but I'll describe it for the listeners. The first picture is the unit we're going to be looking at the after pictures for, but essentially, these were studio apartments. They're referred to as shotgun studios, where it was an area of town the Heights used to be a pretty dilapidated area in this part of town, and it's starting to be turned around. And so this was buying the worst property.
I used to own this building.
Yeah. So...
I know. I'm looking at pictures right now. I'm like, yeah, holy cow. Yeah. We're gonna put a link to this in the show notes as well at biggerpockets.com/show.
Is that mold on the light in the ceiling?
It is mold. If you scroll down to the bathroom, you'll see that it's PVC pipe outside of the wall hanging by a string to a shower head.
Yeah, so. That's cool. That's cool.
this is what I would call
classy.
A D minus level apartment. And then let me just show you like the type of work that we're doing and the drastic change. I just posted the updates.
Which we will also show in the show notes at biggerpockets.com/show167.
Yes.
That's incredible, the difference.
Wow.
And so you could see in the previous picture, they had put fake laminate over this floor, and these floors are all natural wood that have been there since the late 1920s. And we found someone that would refinish the floors for us. And then the bathroom, you can see it looks like a normal bathroom now.
Yeah.
Rather than the PVC piping.
Some people I kind of miss the PVC. A blue string to you know, kind of hold up the shower head. I mean, there's something special about that.
Exactly. And so we're in a transition state right now, and you can see going from what I would consider a D minus to an A plus, you're going to have some tenant differences there.
Yeah.
This unit actually just got finished within the last month, and we just now rented it, but we found someone that was willing to pay $700 a month for 12 months in advance. So we got all of that rent prepaid. Wow. The property was listed at $740, and prior to that, it was renting for $500. Wow. So that's a pretty big increase, but it also was about 3 months of work. It was very challenging at times, and I kept thinking back. I think there was a podcast with the apartment owner who in Chicago bought that really dilapidated property and moved his office inside the property.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I had to do an eviction. None of the tenants had leases or anything like that. We didn't have any identifying information. I had to do an eviction on one of the units. One of the units, an individual was selling drugs. I mean, we're dealing with like very, very tough situation that has been a long time coming. And obviously Matt did a lot of work, and something that we did that I haven't heard any other Bigger Pockets podcast folks do is we actually met with the designer to determine kind of what the best look was for our apartments and how we should remodel.
Cool. What did it end up costing, or did it was somebody you knew?
So it was someone we knew. His name's I'll plug him. His name's Rob Reagan, and he has a website, robreagan.net. But what he did is I don't know. I'm not a design guy. I'm not a fancy guy, but I don't know if you've ever walked in a place and you're like, for some reason, the paint just looks off. Mm-hmm. Like I was outside, I walk inside and the paint just looks off. And so, you know, we meet with him and he's like, you can't use this interior paint because your exterior paint is this. They don't match. And we have originally had, for example, butcher block counters on this remodel. And he was like, that's terrible. When you have natural wood, it's going to look cheap and you should go with a white countertop. And I think these are within $200 of each other. But it's something that I highly recommend if you're looking to do a remodel, because you do it once, you get a lot of education very quickly. It's less than $1,000 usually. And it could be, you know, it could be as cheap as a dinner and like a consultation for like $100 or something, but you'll learn so much in that amount of time for an area, at least for me, where I don't know anything about design or anything like that. And it can be as in-depth as, hey, this is how much space we have, and he can actually design models and things like that. We didn't do that because we knew where we wanted our cabinets and things like that, but he really did help us with the colors and the matching, and now we have 5 or 6 tones that we can use that will all match our apartment that we have right now. So
nice.
Well, he did a good job. I'm looking at the pictures and it's fantastic.
Looks
yeah.
Looks great. Hey, I want to dive into the transition because I think it's a process that a lot of people probably have questions about. Mm-hmm. So you have a 14 unit building. That is a D minus.
Yes.
You have tenants selling drugs, tenants who you don't know who the hell they are. It's a mess. Probably not in a great neighborhood either. Correct.
It's
the transitional.
It's much worse. Yeah,
about.
It's much yeah. worse than the. This is like the worst property in the neighborhood.
Okay,
sure.
great property to have. So now, how do we go without going broke while we're doing it? How do we transition 14 units from D minus to A? How do you do that mathematically, financially? And then how do you do that in terms of, you know, putting in new tenants in a building that has a bunch of, you know, crap tenants in there, and you're trying to elevate kind of the level of tenant, so to speak. So how do you do that? And does that not scare off potential new tenants, things like that? Those are the questions I want to know. And I think other people would want to know.
Yeah. So I think the first key is do not pay for the bad property. So in our case, we were getting a deal on the land. We basically paid for the land. So we didn't buy all these bad things, but we then had to fix them up. And we've definitely spent more than we thought. Mm-hmm. The first time you get contracting, I've read 25 books, listened to the webinars, listened to all the podcasts. The first time you get contracting work, you're going to work with bad contractors. They're going to overcharge you. They're not going to do things when you say it. And I don't see how you can avoid this.
Yeah.
Because we actually got recommendations from contractors on bigger pockets, et cetera. But not in this unit, in another unit, it was like sagging to one side. The beams on the second floor had started to collapse. And so we got quoted $7,000 to fix that. And we got six different quotes, and it was the only person that came out quoted us. And it still ended up being too much. He didn't get it done on time. So I'm coming from a place to say we have not done this perfectly, and we have made mistakes in this property. Sure. So don't feel like I did things perfectly. But the first thing we did, we went to the property. There was trash outside. We've found someone. Someone was driving around. If you hang around your property, start working on stuff, people will come around. And we said, they said, hey, can I do any work? We said, we'll give you $50 to remove all this trash. So they removed all the trash out of the property that was on the outside. That immediately improved the look of the property. So I always, it's like a snowball thing where you work from what's the quickest, fastest way to add value. If you could do anything cosmetically, that's really quick, do that. The second thing we did is, what are things that are either dangerous to people or are going to cause a lot more problems later on? So there was a leak in one of the roofs, actually in the roof of the property, the remodeled property that I'm showing you here. We got that patched. We then started fixing the beams. We didn't feel safe with someone living in that unit because it could collapse, it looked like. So we worked on that. And then we had the eviction. So who's not paying rent? We evicted. And something that was interesting about this, another reason why we thought we would add a lot of value, is out of the 14 units, two of the tenants were managers and not paying rent. And one of those quote unquote managers was the bully who got everyone else to pay. and that's all he did. And so he was the one that was evicted. He was actually some of the tenants that we felt like were, you know, very good tenants. He scared them and things like that. And so immediately getting him out of the property really improved the mood of the tenants as well. And then the tenants were like, hey, these guys are coming in and they're fixing things that have been broken for a long time. They're looking at, hey, these, you know, I was on paternity leave. And so I was there in Q4. But yeah, exactly.
Is that a real thing?
We should have paternity leave at Bigger Pockets. This is a great idea. I would take a book out of Google's page. Anyway. Oh,
by the way, I'll be getting phone calls and emails from Brandon for the next you know, 6 months to a year.
Exactly.
Thanks for bringing that up, Kevin. Awesome.
And so Matt and I are there working every weekend. You know, we both had full-time jobs. And the tenants are like, these guys are working on the property. They're improving it. They're asking how we are. They care about us. And so some of the individuals improved themselves because their mood improved. They felt safer. We were moving out bad tenants. And then also we implemented things like a late fee. We started out real small. Most of these guys still don't have leases, but we said, hey, you have to pay. If you don't, it's $5 a day, which is very low, but to go from nothing to $5 a day, we were really scared of losing tenants when we already had four vacant units out of the 14. So we're slowly, I would definitely recommend not completely gutting the place. You want to get some cash going. Otherwise, you're going to be out a lot of money for a long time. Yep. And so, yeah, then once we did that, now we started working on, okay, what's the worst unit that's open? It was the one I showed you guys. There's trash everywhere and stuff. Let's get that tenant rentable. And then we're getting, you know, we're going from 540 per unit to about 700 a unit. And so that's in the process we're in now, is going step by step and improving each of these studio apartments and then renting them out.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Great. Are you planning on doing renovations on units that you have tenants in and potentially moving them to other units, or what's kind of your plan for that? Because surely I'm assuming of those 10 remaining, there are probably a few that aren't in great shape.
Yeah. I would say almost all of them are in pretty poor shape. But what our plan is to give, we're kind of going to work our way from bad tenants to good tenants. And to a bad tenant, we'll say, your options, we're renovating this property, it's going to rent for this much. You can either stay in the unit at the new rent. We did kick the drug dealer out, obviously, but so he didn't get this deal. But you can either stay in this unit at the new rent, you can leave and then come back at the new rent, or you can move out. That's kind of the strategy I've seen, because once in a blue moon, you'll get the A deal where they'll say, I'll just pay the new rent and not require you to make any changes. It's very rare, but if it happens once, it's a huge windfall. So that's kind of the letter that we're going to give to these tenants.
Okay. Cool. Now, let me ask you this. Is it worth it? You know, this is a lot of work for you. At the end of the day, Do you think this is all going to be worth it for you? Do you expect to have a ton of cash flow, equity, or what's your thoughts looking back?
Yeah. So if you do not have the cash flow, and I would say add 300% to what you've reserved for doing this sort of deal, and it's your first one, if I would have gotten into this 14 unit deal as my first deal, I would have drowned probably. I would say that if this is your first deal and you're getting started, do not do this deal. If you're looking to get into multifamily, if you know your area well and you see the potential and you know what that property can rent for, and you see the ability to go in, you know, we're looking at a 3 to 5 year plan here. You see the ability to go to add $500,000-$600,000 in value and cash flow that property. And also we think there's going to be appreciation in that area, though we didn't buy for appreciation, then I would say this is a fantastic deal. So it's not a deal for everyone, and it's not a newbie beginner's deal, and it's not a low maintenance deal.
Mm-hmm. But I think I like to think, I mean, I did a very similar deal. Mine wasn't quite as bad as yours, but my 24 unit I bought was 11 units when I got in there, and we did one at a time. And like, yeah, it's tough, and it's not low maintenance, like you said.
Well, let's talk about that though, really, really quickly for you, Brandon, and then Kevin. I think we'll try and wrap it up with this. So 24 units, you took it, you know, it was a nightmare. I'm assuming you got in there. But after you've gone through and done all the renovation, increased the rents, kicked out the bad tenants, fixed up the units one by one, surely, you know, there was a fair amount of cost to that. But now, is that one of your better properties?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's one of those things that I wouldn't trade for anything. I mean, I could probably find better deals today. I could probably find the same cash flow with less work.
Yeah.
But the lessons you learn in those projects will help you the rest of your life.
Yeah. And so, Kevin, to you, I mean, when this is all said and done, how long do you expect this process to take from start to finish? What do you expect to be walking away with in terms of cash flow on it?
Yeah. So this property right now, I'm actually looking at the financials now. And property and maintenance, we've put between like 33 and 40,000 into the property. Each unit, we probably expect to be about 2 to 3,000 to renovate. And we're not sure. The back unit is kind of this like shotgun house that was thrown up. It doesn't have the 1920s wood floors. It doesn't look as nice, basically. So we're not sure if we're going to renovate those. If we stopped, and if we wouldn't have remodeled any of these units, we would have been cash flowing pretty much from day one.
Okay.
But we are going for value. And so I think for us to get to exactly where we want to be, I think we're probably looking at a three-year type project. But it's us taking risk and putting money into that property to get the value up. If we stopped, or if we wouldn't have started, we would have been cash flowing from day one. But we see the value in increasing the look and of the units.
Well, it sounds like you're recouping your cost in a year. I think at least on the one unit you talked about, you went from $500 to $700 something bucks a month. 12 months, that's $2,000. I mean, if you're spending $2,000, that's pretty good ROI.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity here. Yeah. But like I said, you need those cash flow reserves to be comfortable doing that.
Cool.
And yeah, I don't know if you guys want to go into to my last property, but we actually...
Sure. No, we don't care.
No, we love it.
Go ahead.
So I posted that success story as well. And then another Bigger Pockets investor got online and he said, hey, I'm in San Jose, which is near where I live. Kevin, I'd like to meet with you, discuss. I actually invest in Houston as well. Chatted with him over two or three, coffee meetings, things like that. We started talking. He's like, I would like to get into the multifamily space. Again, this is 100% through my Bigger Pockets post. I'd like to get into the multifamily space. If you guys find something, then, you know, let's think about working together. And I went back to Houston, like I had said, for paternity leave in Q4. And then I'm going to talk badly about the those lifestyle design $30,000 courses, because one of the properties I looked at for us doing a deal together was a 40 unit. And it was a guy that was, I felt terrible for him because he had followed the model, bought a 40 unit that needed massive remodels as his first property. Mm. And I walked into the property, he was losing five figures every month and had nine of the 40 units that were being remodeled at once. None of them were done and he didn't have any money left. So this is again why I say you don't want a big fixer upper as your first project, because you will get in and over your head. And then also I think, you know, these lifestyle design courses, you can't just follow a model. There's real world problems and challenges and you can quickly lose tons of money. So be very careful when you're looking for these huge value add properties. So anyway, we didn't take that deal. It was offered for way too much, but there was this six unit that in February, so 11 months ago, I had started working on this deal. A woman had owned a bunch of properties in the Heights, which is again what I consider the best rental market in Houston. She passed away, and there was this trust that was selling this property. It was listed for $795,000 for a six unit. It's in the very best part of the Heights, so much better than our 14 unit. Our 14 unit's about 3 or 4 miles from this area. And I kept talking to them and trying to get a deal. And I'd abandon it. And then I'd listen to a podcast and they'd say, keep checking up on your deals. If you find something that you want, keep talking. And I'd listen to something like, okay, I'm going to call the agent. So February, I call her. March, try to do a deal. Call her in June, call her in July, call her in September. And then finally, I'm talking to him. Finally, while I'm there in Houston in November, she says, the owner wants to meet with you. And at this point, I'm like, oh no, Matt and I don't have any cash left. We have this 14 unit that we're remodeling. And luckily, the investor I met through Bigger Pockets, chatted with him. He said, I'd be potentially interested in this deal. Start meeting with the owner. It's an older man that's overseeing the trust and he's moving to Arkansas. And I'm like, okay, this is great. He's moving out of the area. He doesn't want this property anymore. The property now is listed for $680,000, I think. And it started at $795,000. Chat with this guy for 3.5 hours,
like,
talking to him about his life, making friends, chatting with him, telling him, you know, what our goals are. We want to remodel this area. And he says, okay, make me an offer. So I go back to my original deal. There's three properties that they're selling left. I offer on all three of them. One's a single family, one's a duplex, and one's the six unit. We offer all together at a really low price. I think we offered like a 1.2 million or a million on these properties, and they were listed at way above that. And he says, I'm never going to take that. That's a terrible deal. And I said, well, how much do you value this single family house for? And he's like,
again.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, this is 200 something thousand. I was like, okay. And then I was like, how much do you value this duplex for? And he's like, oh, this is, you know, this price and it's really high. And I said, okay, so that leaves us our offer at this. Would you take the six unit at $550,000? And I was like, you know, there's going to be some work here. We need to do some. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And so we ended up getting over $200,000 off the original price. And it was a deal that I worked for 11 months.
Wow.
And I ended up being able to do the deal because of, this goes back to, again, Brian Burke, my favorite podcast. And he says, a part of some deal is better than no deal. And so this is a very money cherry deal, but it's getting us started with an investor that we could potentially do more deals with.
Yep.
And in my experience, I think if you identify the class of properties you want to go into, there's an infinite number of deals as long as you're patient and stick to your numbers. And so this property doesn't need near as much work, and we're already seeing the ability to raise rents, and it's in the very best part of the Heights of Houston. So we're really pleased with that property, and we closed on that one less than a month ago. So
that's nice. Awesome.
By the way, lots of people are going to now be making offers on package deals.
Yeah.
Only to negotiate for one or two pieces of the pie, which I think that's a fantastic technique. And I love hearing how successful it's worked out for you so far.
Yeah, it's I would highly recommend looking at negotiation books. I know everyone's a big fan of, is it a Mike's podcast? Is it's like 77 or something like that, but it's a podcast on negotiating. I heavily recommend that one. And actually listened to it because Brandon recommended it a couple of podcasts ago. But
The podcast, I think it was Michael Quarles, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
77. Yeah.
That's a fantastic negotiating podcast. Definitely check out some books. But you make money or lose money most of the time when you sign the deal. So make sure your numbers work. Make sure the worst thing that can happen is they take your first offer, in my experience, because then you're like, oh no, I paid way too much money for this. This is terrible.
Yep.
And then sometimes you have to work a deal for 11 months and it ends up paying off. So never compromise on your returns. We actually had worked out in the summer before this, like a seller financing deal, but then he wanted to be first lien on the note and wouldn't accept a bank lien and all this stuff. So, a lot of headaches with this deal, but found a Bigger Pockets partner, someone that we trusted, wanted to work with, and we're able to close on probably our best property to date.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love
it, Kevin. So what you're trying to say is Bigger Pockets has been very, very good to me.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I think something that's key is don't go on Bigger Pockets and say, I want investors. I've never, ever asked for investment once.
Yeah.
Interact with the site, show how you can add value, show how you can be a trusted resource, and people will reach out to you. I reach out to people reach out to me, and we talk real estate. Oil prices have been going down. I talk to people that own properties in different areas of town, ask them how the oil prices are impacting their Houston market. What do they see the market doing? Having these conversations is really important, and the forums are very valuable, but I feel like the relationships you can pull from those forums are even more valuable.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And just cool. FYI, we did not invite Kevin on here. I didn't even know that he was using Bigger Pockets until like right before the show when I was reading over the show notes. So yeah, that's awesome. I like your story, but this is great that you're kind of one of our success stories. So that's great.
Super fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on and to shift gears to the next section of the show, which we lovingly call our fire round.
It's time for the fire round.
Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short Notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP.
All right, the world famous fire round. Let's get to it. Question number one. These come direct out of the Bigger Pockets forum, so you may have even seen them because I know you interact there. Number one, in preparing to buy an apartment complex, do you have a checklist of things someone should take action on when doing the due diligence on buying something large? Or how do you know what to do when you're buying an apartment?
So I think it's very, very important to find an inspector that you trust. And potentially, if it was my first apartment deal, I would try to find a local investor to walk the property with me if I could. Because you are going to miss things even with those people attending your walkthrough. There are problems that you will not foresee. And having a very good inspector is very important. I've definitely read on the forums where folks have had an inspector that wasn't good or missed something very major that was detrimental to their purchase. And so our inspector actually trains other inspectors. So we've got a lot of confidence in him. And he was also... we found him through the individual that we bought the five houses from as well.
Oh, cool.
So he's been in the game for a while. So find very experienced people if you're inexperienced.
That's great.
To walk through that property with you.
Awesome. All right, what's the best characteristic of a business partner?
They need to be different than you, in my opinion. I am not a great people person at times. Like I get very frustrated with people. Matt is very much more of a people person. Matt's also, I'm the big idea guy, like, hey, we should do this. This looks totally awesome. And then Matt's the guy that actually creates the checklist, executes on the deal. So I'm the big idea, bringing the deals, finding the deals guy. But if I was the guy that had to create the checklist of everything we're going to do in our business from a contracting perspective, it would be done much worse. So Matt has a lot of strengths in areas that I don't have strength in. And then something else that's very crucial as well is we have the exact same goals. So we both have a view of the type of real estate we want to invest in, the direction we want to go in. But Matt eventually wants to leave his job, pick up the contracting business. In Texas, you don't have to be licensed to be a contractor. And so there's a huge variance. And we found out that we can find subcontractors that'll do work for a fraction of the cost. And so eventually we want to help other investors perform the work cheaper and with better quality and maybe prevent some of those mistakes that we made early on.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's great. So, go ahead.
My turn? What? You're trying to take my question, Josh?
You know,
you're trying to steal my question?
Well, see, we're getting main round answers in the fire round.
That's all right.
But they're great answers.
Number four.
Don't cut me
off. Or three. Number three.
What
is the most important attributes to have in a property when making a deal, when buying a deal? What's the most important thing you look for?
I think it depends on your goals, but for me, the most important thing, if I'm not going to do a lot to the property, it needs to be cash flowing. If it's a multifamily, it needs to be at a good cap rate for the area. We typically like properties that we have to put a little bit of work into. And so when we're looking at that property, we want to make sure we're not paying for things that are broken. So if the property's in really bad disrepair, we don't want to pay for that. And we want to, again, look at the property, compare it to things in the area and see. We don't want to improve a property that's already one of the nicer properties in the neighborhood as well. So I think the better your neighborhood is compared to your property, the more we're willing to take on some work to improve it. And then the opposite of that is true. If the area is, you know, in poor shape, we're not going to buy a property that we're going to completely remodel because we're not going to get a lot of value from that.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. All right, last question. What do you think are the biggest differences for... I'm going to tweak the question a little bit. What do you think are the biggest differences from a new investor perspective between single family and small multifamilies?
Yeah, so I think the biggest difference is what Brandon has said on the webinars is definitely true, where multifamilies have a lot more handholding with the tenants. You typically are going to get more calls. You're going to have to do more work wrangling the tenants. Things tend to break more because you have a bigger building. The benefit of that is I think you can add a lot more value to a multifamily property. And then a lot of your major repairs like roofs and things like that are consolidated into a smaller space. So you will have a little bit more overhead in terms of work, I think, with a smaller multifamily. But I think that work will translate into value if you buy a good property.
Fair enough. Cool.
All right. Let's see. Let's move on to the last segment of the show, the Famous Four.
Famous Four.
All right. These questions are asked of every single guest. So let's see what you got to say. Number one, what is your favorite real estate related book?
So I thought about a lot about this one. I'm going to give folks one that's not named very often. It's called Investing in Apartment Buildings by Matthew Martinez.
Okay.
I really like that book. I think it doesn't try to sell you a formula and instead really focuses on the numbers you need to look for, how you add value to apartment complexes. And I found it to be a great read. And it's really what made us focus long-term on apartment buildings.
Okay.
So I definitely recommend checking that one out. Also, all the classics and, you know, investing in our Millionaire Real Estate Investor is also a fantastic book for someone who doesn't have any exposure to real estate as well.
Cool. Perfect.
All right. Favorite business book?
So I'm going to have to go with 4-Hour Work Week just because of what it did for me personally. I was in Houston working in a Big Four accounting firm. Tim Ferriss is the author of that. Really found his blog and his books. He was real big on lifestyle design and improving your life. And so fast forward a few years, and instead of being, you know, an accountant in Houston, doing normal work, I'm, you know, in the Bay Area, living a pretty good life and loving my job. And so that book was just really influential for me personally and being able to, you know, go from a starting point and this is how you get better at everything. And so I'll recommend that book.
Great.
What do you do for fun?
So what I do for fun. So I am sort of a geek, so I do play games with my friends online sometimes. I barbecue. I enjoy that. Barbecue here is horrible and very expensive. And being from Texas, I never done it before, but I was like, I'm going to teach myself how to barbecue. And so that's become a hobby. We try to hike when we can. We have a daughter that was born last August. And so she's a handful for us. And that occupies most of our time.
Oh, sounds cool. Great.
Hey, I'm gonna do question 3.5 here. I'm curious how many, I want to ask this on, try to start asking this on more podcasts. How many hours a week do you say you work? I'm going to ask two parts. How many hours a week do you say you work at your real estate, and how many hours a week do you say you work at Google?
So I work at real estate. I would say it's hard to say because there's so many questions that come in throughout the day and stuff like that. We have a few people that help us for, they're not employees, but they help us a little bit, and we're dealing with questions all the time. But I would say maybe 4 to 6 hours when I close the books at month end. That takes time as well, but it's always occupying my mind. I'm thinking about things.
Sure.
Google varies as well. I think one of the benefits is you don't have to be at work per se in a building in a chair, but you do have to be, you're expected to output product. So there's been weeks where I've had 40-hour weeks, and then there's been weeks where I've had, you know, 80 to 100-hour weeks, and I'd say I probably average, you know, 50 to 60, depending on the work. But I just changed positions as well, and so I've had a little more work this week. But like I said, I really enjoy working with engineers. It's a cool place to be, and you know, I definitely have nothing but positive things to say about it. It's been great for me.
Yeah, awesome. I asked that because, like, again, a lot of people say, well, I can't invest in real estate because I work a full-time job. And I know that, you know, working in the tech world, it's a pretty time-intensive task generally. I mean, it might be a little more flexible, but you work a lot of hours. And so, you know, people have no excuse. After hearing your podcast, they have no excuse not to go out and do something.
Yeah, and that's why I definitely recommend the podcast to folks, is because I guarantee you, you know, I'm a guy that's coming in. I had been saving money. I invested, but you'll also find people that have full-time jobs that didn't have a lot of money when they get started, or you'll find people that decided they wanted to make a career out of it. There are thousands and thousands of ways to get involved in this space if you're passionate about it. And Bigger Pockets is basically all use cases for how to make real estate work for you. And so that's why I can't recommend it enough, because everyone's story is different and it's inspiring, and listening to them will remind you to do things within your own business. If I had not been listening to the podcast, I wouldn't have got that deal over 11 months, because that podcast would remind me to call that agent about that deal frequently. And then I wouldn't have met either, you know, the investor that we've invested with, Sharon, who's been a great agent for us. So we've really built this team out of this community, and it's grown us from our zero to 25 units. So
I love it. Nice. That's awesome. And by the way, Sharon is an awesome lady. She actually edited, was one of the editors on the book on investing in real estate with No and Low Money Down. So just give her a little shout out there. And I never knew how to say her last name. Was it Zib, you said?
I say Z, but okay, she's probably listening and telling us that we're all saying it wrong.
Probably it's
TZIB.
Yeah. TZIB. Yeah.
Yeah. She's awesome.
So. But I would say if you're a new real estate investor investing in the Houston market, I've worked or reached out to 7 or 8 real estate agents, and she is better than all of them probably combined. Like, nice. She follows up. She will work with the seller and say, you haven't sent me the expenses for these items, and we're not closing until you get them for me. So I can work with her on a deal, and I don't have to do all of that. And she saved me hours and hours of time. And like I said, we wouldn't have gotten our 14 unit without her presenting a professional package to that investor. So I can't recommend her enough. And she goes above and beyond any other real estate investor that I've worked with.
Yeah,
so.
I love it. That's just one more reason people should be interacting on BP. I mean, if you are an agent on, you know, a real estate agent, interact on BP, get to know people. You'll find people like Kevin and start working with them and build your brand. So that's great. I love it. All right. My last question of the day, officially. What do you believe sets apart successful investors? And I'm going to even tweak this question a little bit. What made you different from those who are listening to this podcast, who have been talking, who have been listening to all 167 shows and have still not taken action? They've not bought their first deal or the second deal. What made you different? What makes other investors different from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm always the guy that wants to read every single book on the topic, and you just feel like you never know enough. And okay, I'll finally pull the trigger once I've learned everything. And honestly, for me, listening to, again, when I listened to the Brian Burke podcast, he was like, you have to get started somewhere. And he said something that Josh hated, which was, I don't care if you have to, you know, use your credit card to put your down payment, get started. But for me, I had the money, but for me, that was saying, you know, once you find that yes in your numbers, you have to put your feet to the fire and execute on this. And, you know, taking action is, and listening to people that have done it made me comfortable enough to take action. And that's really what pushed us along. And also I was having a daughter. So it was like, are you going to wait till after your daughter's born to get started on this? Or are you going to pull the trigger? And so, you have to take action once you're comfortable with your market and with your deals.
That's awesome. Great.
I love
great.
It.
And I think that's the power of this medium, you know, the podcast, being able to talk to somebody like you who in a year has done so much. Or, I mean, we love doing those. We don't do them enough, but the shows where we have folks who've just done their first deal, because, you know, new investors, it's hard to relate to maybe a Brian Burke or somebody who's, you know, got tens, hundreds or thousands of deals. You can't, but you can relate to that other guy or gal and, you know, it just may be the thing that kind of puts you over the edge. But that said, I've got my final question for you, which is, where can people find out more about you? Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, so my Bigger Pockets profile is probably the number one spot. We do own a domain, but it doesn't have a website because we're not doing any direct mail or anything at this time. Yep. It's probably something we'll move towards in the future, but Bigger Pockets, my email's up there. I think my phone number even. So that's the best spot.
Perfect. Cool. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on. Congrats on all the success. And of course, we'll see you back on Bigger Pockets.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's crazy that I'm on the show. So
hey, look at you. Nicely done. Yeah.
So thanks guys.
Thanks. All right, man. See you around.
Take care.
See
you got it. Bye. All right, guys, that was Kevin Wood from sunny Northern California. Not so sunny.
I was going to say, is it sunny over there? I don't know.
No, I don't know.
It's sunnier than here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where I live.
That's not hard.
That is not hard.
That is not hard at all. But yeah. So great show. I mean, very smart guy doing some really cool things. And I'm certainly impressed. And as we alluded to in the beginning, you know, he is in probably the most expensive area of the country to invest in real estate. He's working a full-time job and he's succeeding at building a portfolio. So, you know, to the naysayers, it can be done.
Yep.
Listen up again, go through some other podcasts. We've talked to lots of people who are making it happen. You too can make it happen.
There you go. Look at that inspiration right there. You too can make it happen. I want to see you on a poster saying that. You too can make it happen.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of posters.
Speaking of posters.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't either. But no, Kevin talked about his job. And so I just wanted to take a second to talk about jobs. And Bigger Pockets is offering jobs right now. We have 5 positions open. We are hiring. And, you know, Kevin works at Google, which we both have spoken at. We spoke at together. That was a lot of fun. And
ate their free lunch, which was nice.
We did. And you know, great company, big fan. We use Google for all sorts of stuff.
That said, we want to steal Google employees. So if you are a Google...
No, but listen, like, I mean, we're looking for high-skilled people, and there are high-skilled people at Google and elsewhere who don't want to work 50 to 60 hours like Kevin does. And like... you know, thousands and thousands of people around the country are doing, working at great companies, but, you know, working really, really tough hours. And we have Bigger Pockets in the number one city in the country, according to U.S. News and World Report. Yes, Denver is the number one city in the country. For all you guys looking for a place to relocate, go somewhere else. Because
number one for bloody
noses. Unless you're going to come here and work for Bigger Pockets.
Unless you're, I was going to say number one for bloody noses. I don't know what they rank number one for.
Oh, but. Stop whining. Anyway, we are hiring. So, you know, come join us at Bigger Pockets. 40-hour work week is actually a 40-hour work week. And come be a part of our team. You can apply today at biggerpockets.com/jobs. And for all the Google folks and other Facebook people that are listening, that are looking to work less hours and work at a really cool company, changing lives. We're hiring for tech folks. So check it out.
And you get to hang out with Josh Dorkin in Denver. I don't know if it's a benefit or
better.
What better?
I mean, you know, granted, I get sick of hanging out by myself after about 5 minutes, but you know,
well, everyone else does too. It's okay. Let's close this thing up.
Wow.
You know, I enjoy working with you, Josh,
okay,
even if it's 2,000 miles away.
You know? I mean, geez, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great place to be.
It is.
All right, guys. Well, listen, definitely sync up with Kevin. Check out the show notes, biggerpockets.com/show167. Make sure to check out the Bigger Pockets video video podcast, excuse me, on iTunes. It's these shows, but in video form. So definitely check that out. We also have video form on YouTube. But if you could jump on iTunes and leave us ratings and reviews on both the audio and video versions of the show, that would help us tremendously. Otherwise, jump on the forums, interact. I mean, I don't have to sell it. Kevin said it all. I mean, the site's amazing, and you get to connect with guys like him. And you know, if you're a newbie, he kind of gave you the formula for how to get things going. So make it happen, and let's get you out of here. So I'm Josh Dorkin, signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
Welcome to the show, Kevin. Thanks for... what do I usually say?
Oh, no. Let's try that again.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.